This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. This week, we're going to be here with Dustin Brown from Brown's Automotive Experts, three locations, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dustin, how you doing, man?
Fantastic, Carm. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Picture of your shop. What are we going to see here? Oh, look at that. Oh, what? I love the balloon picture. That is great. Was that done on purpose?
No, we have the International Balloon Fiesta in New Mexico and in Albuquerque, and that takes place near our shop. So 1 week a year, we get to enjoy all the balloons flying low overhead. So we're able to catch a pretty good shot of somebody floating over the shop there.
I'm jealous. I long for that day of those big, beautiful blue skies. Winter has finally arrived up here in Buffalo. So yeah, that just looks so attractive. Is that the original store?
That is. That is the original location that my father started. He actually took it over from my great uncle, so his uncle, in 1986. It's been kind of a part of the family for years prior to him taking over. He worked for my great uncle, so we've got old pictures of my dad when he was 20 years old working in that place.
So you're third generation.
I am, yes. My grandfather owned a shop in Bosque Farms, New Mexico, which is a small community south of Albuquerque. And that's how my father got into it. My grandfather didn't stay in it very long. He got out and decided to go farming. But my father definitely stayed with it.
So when you and your brother, Nolan, bought the place in 2018 from your dad, am I right?
We did, yes.
And that's now around four years. And did the three stores happen since you and Nolan bought the place?
When we bought the place, we had two. So we've added one since.
So you added one under your guide. Okay, cool. It's just good to have all that great information as we start talking about that. We're going to talk about remodeling today. We're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix Studio. Good to have Dorman always with us sponsoring the show. Here's a great, great message from Dorman.
Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why do they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE Fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
Thanks again, Dorman. Hey, Dustin was with me on a Town Hall Academy. Do we earn enough respect? Remember that one?
Yeah, that was our good friend Charlie over there. Look at that good-looking guy.
good old Charlie. By the way, episode 250, about 10 weeks ago, we did this. So well worth it. Come on the website, remarkableresults.biz. Type in Dustin Brown and check out everything that Dustin and I have done. Time to talk about remodeling.
We are in the process of wanting to go into store four and eventually get to number five. So we are wanting to grow. So a big part of the remodel thought process was, is this the look we want to have when we get into furthering our locations and expansion? And the answer was no, right? Our logo had no color in it. It was just a gray and black and white logo, wrenches and gears. It was dated, right? And the logo was dated. I mean, we put that logo out probably 2010. So it's been a few years since we've updated the logo. Prior to that, it had been 20 years since the logo got updated, but you know, doing auto repair in the 80s and 90s wasn't quite what it is today. So we updated the logo, we created a new color scheme, and we really wanted to kind of modernize our facilities. Another thing we look at is we look at who is our competition. When we think about who is our competition in the industry, my brother Nolan and I really feel our main competition is going to be dealerships and large chains, you know, Firestones, Christian Brothers. So we're going to look at what do the dealerships have for a waiting area? How clean are their facilities? And how can we get something relatively close to that within the confines of the space that we have? Just upgrading the look, giving it a more modern look, a more warm atmosphere for people to bring cars in was definitely a big goal to improve the customer experience. Another big goal that we had was to improve the quality of the work that we are getting into the shop. We don't want somebody driving by with maybe a 2020 Chevrolet or BMW and say, man, that shop doesn't look like the shop for me to bring my new car. And that, you know, we want to look like the shop that's going to be able to, we want to look like the shop that does what we do, right? And we have modern equipment. We have high diagnostic capabilities. We invest highly on training, on the new stuff coming out. So a big part of that was to attract the better clientele, or the clientele that we are wanting to attract. So that was a big part of the process as well. Was
I like so many things that you said. One of them, what do we look like to people? It's curb appeal. It's a perception of this is a place that can really take care of me, fix my car, or I know that I'm going to get the cheapest possible price and maybe not as good of an expertise inside. I mean, it really, you have one chance to make a great first impression.
That's right. And we always prided ourselves on keeping our facilities clean. You know, paint wears out. You got to paint. You got to just update, you know. And then trends change, right? What was like the hip color theme 10 years ago isn't what it is now.
You know, I've always told this story. It's called my bucket of paint story. And thank you for bringing up that paint kind of, a paint job can truly lift not only the appeal and the look, appearance, but spirit inside of a facility, and it ends up becoming brighter. Here's my 1 gallon of paint story. Dustin, in one of your stores that you may not have done any upgrades in, buy a gallon of paint, go to your manager of that store, put it in his hand, and walk around the building, in and out. Don't tell him what the paint's for. Just say, hey, what do you think we can do for improvement? Now, he's got this, this 8-pound gallon of paint in one arm. And as he's walking through the inside the facility, the bathroom, the shop, and the outside, he's getting your message. And it doesn't mean that he has to paint, but he has to be very aware of what the place looks like. And you can walk across the scrub that's growing in the cracks of the driveway and maybe some cigarette butts out front. And all of that makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't see the paint get dirty because it happens gradually, like a wheel bearing slowly starts making noise, right? Until you put a wet towel on your wall and you're like, oh, wow, that wall's dirty.
I so love what you said earlier. It says, you know, we're growing. We're looking for store number 4. What is it that we're going to look like? And even though they may all be different kind of buildings, you can still bring a upgraded, clean, sharp look to the facility.
Absolutely. And the store we're going to look at is kind of a one-off, right? So it's our original store. It's the original store that we've had, and it does not look like the exterior of the other stores. But once you see it, you'll see kind of why we kept it the style that we kept it in.
Hey, look, I got to make a comment. You said the dealership. Ironically, this past weekend, I was in a Nissan dealership, and I was in the customer waiting area. I wasn't there to buy a car or anything. It was an ironic situation as to why I was in it. And I looked around. I saw a beautiful coffee Keurig bar. I saw beautiful leather, you know, comfort couches, TV on. And what I saw that was interesting were big vending machines. Now, maybe it was for the entire operation to go have a vending machine, but there were two huge vending machines for beverages and for snacks. And I know there's an awful lot of people in our industry that offer beverages for free in their waiting rooms. It's not a bad idea. Go visit a customer waiting room at your competition, right?
Absolutely. And just pay attention to how clean they keep everything, and getting that culture of cleanliness in there is just, it takes time. Okay. It takes time, but you just got to be diligent and keep up with those guys and let them know why it's so important. So
older locations, in my perspective, and I know of some, they always get a little rough on the edges, but there's always ways, like you say, to fix them up and clean them up. Hey, let's talk about some of the new listens that went on this week and how hard we work for building great, great content. Had a great episode with Dr. Dave Wyman on handling a toxic employee. Dave's a psychologist, a smart guy. You know, we talked about toxic employees or employees that are jerks and how we get them in, how we get them out of the business. A great episode with John Long, Mark Roberts, and Edgar Reyes on Schertz Automotive. And you get a chance to meet Edgar Reyes, a 26-year-old dynamo. Father and daughter teams came out with Ashlyn, Rich, Lauren, and Jeff. And Matt Fonslow's latest episode with Justin Morgan came out. So I don't know. Is everyone ready to see this virtual shop tour with Dustin Brown? By the way, these are pictures you sent us about remodeling. This is the before, and then we're going to shoot over to the video and see what it looks like now, huh?
So it was an old Texaco station for many years. It was probably built in the late 40s. So anything we do, we challenge with it being built in the late 40s. That's the new logo on the sign that we put up. We've got two bays in the front, so you can see that old Texaco station. Here we are walking into the office. That's my father. I kind of, Donald Brown on the top. I kind of represent him for that. So walking in, this is the new image that we have. We redid the floors, we redid the counters, and we installed an office. Your blue paint up there, that's going to be a halo lit sign that's actually getting installed today. Moved our coffee area over. So we brought the counter back and we gave them more space for the clients. The office, the bathroom for the clients, we remodeled that as well. Got a new vanity, new toilet, new mirror, some more decor, right? So pretty simple. A lot of it had to do with painting, but this whole counter got built and got pulled back, giving our clients more room.
I mean, wow, what a transformation. The red walls are gone. The angular counter, it is modern. It is earthy. It is spacious. Nice, nice job. Okay, we'll roll the tape again here.
All right, here's where the two office guys work. My manager and my advisor. We run a manager and advisor, three techs and a lube guy out of this store. We're still gonna hang our mission statement up. We installed an office for the manager. Boy, I never had an office growing up in this store. I had to take people out back and talk to them. Yeah, so just having an office, the guy can close the door, get his stuff done, makes a big difference. That's where we put all our computer stuff, networking things. These old closets that we store all of our supplies in, paper towels, cleaning supplies, zip ties, different types of flush equipment, chemicals, fluids. So we utilize that space quite well, all the gloves. So going into the shop from the office, we installed in-ground lifts because you could not fit two swing arms. I did that probably about 10 years ago, maybe seven. So we have this old workshop, this old work counter. The guys have their toolboxes along the walls, and we have these in-ground lifts. Prior to those, we could only fit one swing arm because the building was not wide enough. So we got a 12K and a 10K up here. This is interesting. I'm kind of looking at this big steel pole right here. One middle of the night, a drunk driver came in and blasted and hit the bay, that pillar between the bay doors.
Oh, look at that.
You know, this is 1940 construction, so they didn't have a lot of the stuff they have now. So we had to re-engineer and get architects out there to repair that, because that's what we had to do. We had to put big steel support beams across it to fix it. That took a long time to get done, but it got done, you know. I did not show the bathroom for the shop. That's that door right there next to the oil filters. The bathroom was being occupied, so as it goes. Keep the filters there. Now, we have these bays downstairs. We have two bays downstairs for the guys to work in. Again, we could only fit one swing arm down here, so we have two in-grounds that we installed.
So this facility has four bays, right?
It has four bays inside. So this is our compressor room. We store, you know, ball joint presses, hub tamers, equipment, got their bolt bins and things they access. tire area. So this little corner is where they do their tires, tire balancer, tire machine.
Are you happy with your tire sales, man?
I could always do more. That's for sure. I'm pushing more tires. This back corner, this is where we keep all of our oil and our oil supplies.
You say it was an old Texaco station. Typically, they're just two bays back in the day. Did you add these other two bays on the back?
These were added not by me. I mean, this was added probably by my great uncle. And then when my father took over the place in 86, he raised the roof, raised the ceiling down here because my uncle had a low ceiling. And back then, they didn't really have many lifts. And they would use old bumper jacks to lift cars up and work on the ground. So my father raised the ceiling. And then this was an addition as well, this little exterior wraparound downstairs. I added all the drywall. It was way different when I was growing up. They got their press. You see, it's just a tight little spot. That's where the guys do their lookup stuff, you know, all data, Identifix. They also have tablets, so they use the tablets more. Okay, coming outside, we do have a lift outside New Mexico's beautiful weather. These guys will work on this outdoor lift all year long. The lift, if you want to pause it here, this used to be an old drive-on pit. Do you see the black backside? You see the blue line? That used to be an old alignment pit.
Yeah.
So we filled that in this year, finally got rid of the pit, and I put my waste oil containers and all of our waste fluid stuff gets stored there. And, of course, it's now where the boys like to barbecue a lot. They're big on doing that. So I bought them a nice grill to do that. And we installed another lift on the other side. I think we got photos of that. That's a 12K above ground swing arm. So we're just kind of walking around the back shop. This is where we store everything, where we park the cars, lock them up overnight. And then right there is our 12K that we installed. So we had to pour a slab and get that 12K swing arm. Again, the shop was so small. You got a big truck or something. Oh, you have the back end sticking out of the bay. It's just so tight.
I'm so impressed with the work that's done outside in our southern stores. Are there zoning ordinances in order to put that up?
No.
No, you just poured the slab and lifted it, and the town says, good for you, right?
Pretty much. Nobody complained. I didn't, you know, ask for forgiveness, not permission. It's usually the best way to go, right? I just got to put it up there. Nobody said anything. But we did have to have an electrician wire, and we do get them inspected, so we have to go through the OSHA stuff primarily. But nothing. Now, if I want to canopy it, and I do need to put a canopy over it because it gets pretty hot in the summer to work out there, that's going to require getting a permit.
Well, obviously, you must be cranking out some stuff.
Yeah, we did about 1.35, almost 1.4 last year with the three techs, one GS, and two office guys out of that place. And our labor rate down here is at $119 an hour. So we have an effective rate sitting right about $107.
Are you one of the highest in towns with $119?
Again, who's your competition, right? So I got a Ford dealership here. It's $147. No, I don't really, you know, if the little mom and pop shop down the road wants to charge $85 an hour, let them charge $85 an hour. We're staying busy, and we utilize a labor matrix as well. Based off of our average income per resident, you know, household income per resident, and comparing it to other cities throughout the country, if we were to be keeping up with the rest of the country, we should all be sitting about $125 to $130 an hour on the independent side. But it's a small town, you know, and some of these guys have had these locations for 50 years, and this is what it is, right? But I also pay my techs very well, so I need to have my labor rate to afford my technicians and to hit the GP percentages and net percentages we need to expand. So we focus on training. We focus on developing our guys. We focus on developing the office staff. There's a lot of things you can do to combat price, right? Price is not your number one sales objection, typically. We really focus on a lot of other stuff, and I focus on getting the best guys. And You know, we're paying guys $35 to $40 a flat rate hour.
Well, good for you. So excited to see this. Great to have you on the show again. I love the direction of your company. I see that you're in a growth mode. You're doing a lot of things. So right. New logo, new image, remodeling. Nice remodeling job. Really, really sharp. And I love it. No matter what that store looks like, let's talk about curb appeal. Right? Oh, there's an old Texaco-looking station because it is so typically service station looking. I love it. It's, in fact, I think it's kind of cool because it's retro right now, right? It's really retro.
Yeah, and I kept it that way. I kept it that way because the neighborhood likes it. We are actually on historic Route 66, so we just kind of milks that. You know, we'll have hot rods come by over the weekend, and they do Photoshops outside of the location and all that stuff. And I've been involved in the hot rod scene for a while, so. They just come on by, you know, they'll park under the canopy and do all that stuff. So it's really cool.
Don't lose that retro look. But on the inside, you know, when someone walks in, now you have that professional, service professional feel on the inside. Thank you so, so much for being here and seeing a great tour of your place. Come back and let's do another tour, okay?
All right, that sounds fantastic. Hey, Carm, always a pleasure, buddy. You have a great day, all right?
You too, my friend. See you now. Bye-bye.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.